This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this sort of snowy Tuesday. Welcome to Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And we got a dusting. We got a little bit, enough to get everybody a little bit excited.
Just in the hills, you know, you get those pictures from friends that either live or work somewhere where there's a little slush on a windshield.
Yeah. So we'll see what the rest of the week brings. But I think it's like Mother Nature's like, okay, here's a little winter. Now shut up.
That's right. Quit complaining. Winter's here. Come on.
We've got another busy jam-packed show today, so we're going to jump right in. Welcoming to the show on the phone with us today from BambinosOregon.org, Glenda Dunaway is on the phone. Glenda, nice to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much for having me again.
You bet. So you've got some big news going over there. You got some stuff coming up on the 20th, a big event. But again, for those folks that maybe aren't familiar, because it's been a little bit since we had you on, tell us a little bit about Bambinos, what it is you guys do, and the great value that you provide to the community.
Sure, absolutely. Well, we provide diapers, wipes, formula. We also do car seats and car seat education. Our whole goal is to reduce stress in families who have babies. And so we used to just serve Polk County. Last time we were on the air with you, it was to tell everybody about our bus that we were converting to be a mobile office. And that has now been on the road for 10 months. And we've been serving 5 counties with that, which was above and beyond what we were expecting to do the first year. So we're now in Marion, Yamhill, Lynn and Benton, and Polk, and we're doing rural areas, and it's everything we dreamed it would be and more. We've been so busy. we served 650 babies alone this last year. So we're really excited for the growth that's been happening and the families we've been able to serve.
That's awesome. I mean, what a great need that you're filling for some folks. I mean, people have been struggling, and babies can be a little on the spendy side. We all know that, those of us who've had them, but we love
that. Expensive.
Absolutely. We need to be having more babies. So I love that you're doing this. And I love that the bus is now expanded out so much. That's great.
Yeah, it's been really amazing. Just this last week, we served 20 babies in a 2-hour stint out of the bus. So pretty great.
I bet the moms and dads are so grateful.
They are, and they're so gracious, and they're just the neatest people. We just love getting to know them.
Nice. So now, obviously, all of this takes money. You guys are a nonprofit, and so talk to us a little bit about, you guys do fundraisers throughout the year. This next one coming up looks very cool.
Yeah, we're very excited. So this Friday night, Brandon Heath is flying in from Nashville to do a benefit concert for us, and we are so beside ourselves excited. So he's going to be coming just for a one-night show. We're going to be doing our Stuff the Bus event alongside it. So the bus will be out in the parking lot. People are encouraged to bring a pack of diapers or wipes as they come in. Tickets are really affordable, so we're hoping that people feel generous enough to do that as well. And then just have a really great night where we can all hang out together and listen to some amazing music. We also have a local guy, John August, that's going to be opening for Brandon, and he's super excited, right from Monmouth. So we're really looking forward to the night and what it's going to bring.
So I'm curious now, did you guys have a connection to Brandon Heath? Did he hear about you? How did you guys get connected?
Well, we are so thankful for Valley Life Church. They're the ones who are going to be hosting the event for us in their church. And they've had this real deep desire to bring some good, solid Christian music to the Valley.
Yeah.
And so they've already hosted like 4 concerts in the last year and a half, Sidewalk Prophets and 10th Avenue North. And so they had a list of people that we might be able to get. And when we looked at the list, it was like, I know who Brandon Heath is. And what's really fun is that Beth Jones, who started Bambinos, when I let her know he was coming, she almost started crying. And she'll be sharing her story at the concert. But his song, Give Me Your Eyes, she said she played it on repeat that first year she started Bambinos because she just wanted God's vision for the people around her. And she was blown away that we got him, of all people. So it's really a fun story.
Wow. Wow. I like that tie back to sort of the inception. Beth Jones, she's a friend of the show. In fact, we're working on getting her book done here as well. We haven't talked to her in a while, and she's got some big stuff coming up. So that's really
she
cool
does.
To make that connection, kind of close that circle on it. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming she's going to be there.
Yes, she will. She'll actually be helping me do the intermission and sharing her story about her tie to Brandon's music. Nice. And then I'll be sharing a little bit, including a little video about who we are and what we do for the people that came just to hear Brandon. And so it'll be a really neat, you know, partnership throughout the night of there'll be Bambino's merch and Brandon's merch and John's merch. And it'll just be a really fun night where people can have a real concert experience in Dallas.
Nice. And then also bring some things to fill the bus. So what kind of things would you like folks to bring?
Yeah, packs of diapers is our biggest need, all the way up to pull-ups, and then wipes are also appreciated. If you have a can of formula that's unopened that you want to bring that too, whatever you want to donate. And then ticket sales do come directly to Bambino, so that's the biggest part of the benefit. But we also want to give, you know, tours of the bus and let people know about that so that they can support us through stocking the bus up for the next runs.
Nice. So now people also now, we want a lot of people to go to this event, but so if somebody can't or they can, and then they learn more about Bambino's and they want to get more involved, what kind of volunteer opportunities are there for people to get more involved with you?
We have so many things you can do, from coming in and just helping us sort and stock the bus and do all of that, to helping track our donations because our community is just so generous. We have a really great partnership with Good 360, so we get a lot of new things as well that we just need to track. Plus, we, of course, need the women that really have a heart to be in the office and work with our moms and listen to them and talk about potty training and talk about postpartum depression and all of those things that our moms face in our community. We're also hosting our Mother's Day event. And, you know, we always need event volunteers for that. So if you just can give us a couple hours once, we'll use you for that. You know, we have so many things you can do. If you're interested, you can just reach out via the website to me and I can talk to you about that.
Wonderful. Yeah, you guys have been doing so much good work, and you're just, again, such a blessing to the community. And again, we're talking to Glenda Dunaway. You're the executive director, right, Glenda?
I am, yes.
You are. Okay, so Glenda, you'd want to definitely connect. I was out on your website today, and there's all kinds of resources out there. And again, it's bambinosoregon.org. And again, your big event with Brandon Heath, is coming up on the 20th, and you can get tickets, find out all the information there. Anything else you want to add, Glenda, before we let you go?
Just thank you so much to our community for all of your support. We couldn't do what we do without people like you, the listeners that care about what we care about and have just been so generous. And we thank you, and we can't do this without you. So just keep it coming.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, God bless you. God bless all the work you guys are doing in the community, and best of luck. I'm sure it's going to be a rip-roaring success on Friday.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it so much.
You bet. You bet. Okay, we're going to take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Bi-Mart and the Perlin Mill.
Alrighty, of course, we need to mention that the Bi-Mart Savings Book is out. It is out.
Mm-hmm. It is out. It is coming to mailboxes. If you haven't got it, you should have gotten it already, but check your mail if you're one of those people like me that only does it every couple days.
I know, me too. Also, real quick, too, want to mention that we are right in the midst of our 5th annual food and clothing drive. You can find out all about that at kycan.com. Click the food and food and clothing drive tab, and it will give you all the information on our great sponsors. Been following this today. I am so frustrated with this. It's just our friend Derek LeBlanc, Tony Aiello Jr., they have been on the ground at the Capitol trying to deal with this. There was HB 4145, more shenanigans on stripping away gun rights from Oregonians. And I guess there was a committee meeting yesterday, and this Bend representative named Jason Kropf, I don't even care how you pronounce his name. Apparently, they thought the vote was going to be like a 4-4, and they were out kind of, whipping votes isn't the right word, but there was some talking, and they had what they thought were they were going to, the pro-Second Amendment sane people were going to come out on top of this. But then there was some strong-arm tactic by this representative from Bend, who is a Democrat. Mm-hmm. Tony Aiello's post on this, he says, Bend residents, House District 54, anti-firearms advocates, this is your champion. Are you proud of him and his bullying? Are you pleased to have a white upper-crust male in a position of power openly using his position to intimidate, dominate, and control a female of color who dared to vote her conscience? Apparently, she voted. She was going to vote no.
Yeah, she voted no. Well, so as I read through it, because there is an official conduct complaint form been
filed.
Yes,
there is.
And as I'm reading through that, it's literally like he calls for the vote. I guess Crump leads this committee.
Yeah.
He calls for the vote. She votes no. So he stops the vote, calls a recess, takes her out in the hallway for at least 10 minutes. They come back in. She's obviously on the verge, if
upset.
Not had been crying, and then he calls for a revote and she votes yes. And I sit here and go, really, that's how politics work? You take them out in the hall, you whip them like a mule, and you send them back in to do what you want?
Remember, we heard rumors, and not even rumors, people saying for years that when Kotek was Speaker of the House, the mm-hmm. same thing would happen. You'd have like grown men in tears. Aiello goes on. He's a civil attorney, and he's been kind of the legal guy behind all of this, fighting this. He said she dared to vote her conscience, even if it defied him. Are you at all curious what he said to her in the hallway? And, excuse me. And I read that formal complaint. Excuse me. That was filed by Derek LeBlanc. This is absolutely ridiculous. It's certainly not transparent. It's bullying. This should never be happening. If this woman wanted to vote, the woman should be able to vote any way she wants. But that shows you the tactics of the left and what Oregonians are up against with these people who have had full control of everything.
So much control, they're willing to demolish one another to get their control. I mean, that's how sick this is. And I'm sitting there going, if there is a major news outlet, K2, Fox 12, Coin 6, even whatever the Bend station is over there, I'm sitting there going, you should have your reporters in this woman's saying, what did he say to you that made you change your vote? Because I want to know what he did, his behavior in this hallway, where he, of course, took someone to a private area, obviously, and browbeat her to submission.
This is gross. I had a friend of mine who actually was watching it, and they turned the camera off. And so there's all kinds of, and I don't even, shenanigans is too cutesy of a word to describe this. This is vile behavior. This is absolutely uncalled for. It's unprofessional. It's clear bullying.
Well,
and again, it's so frustrating reading this because, I mean, I've been in this fight for years and years and years with the left trying to strip away gun rights from Oregonians. They've been at it for years and years and years. And it's not one thing. And it feels always like Lucy with the football. And you think you've got it one way and you get ready and you can plan and you can do everything you want and you think you've got your votes there. And then boom, nope, here we're going to pull a fast one. We're going to change the rules or pull this BS in the middle of everything, because then it ended up being like I think they thought they had a 4-4 and it ended up being 5-3. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because she voted yes. And I sit here and go, and as a representative from Bend, I spent over a decade living there, and there is a gigantic hunting community, gun community. I mean, they were probably one of the last schools, school districts in the state that still actually had gun clubs. When I was over there, a guy I worked with, his teenage son, high school age son, was in a gun club. And I'm just sitting here going, so you're not representing your community being this anti-gun. And on top of that, now, I mean, if you're going to behave this way, let's just set up a ring and get some cameras out there, maybe get a little WWE production, and let's make it entertaining if you're going to attack one another this way.
Well, I mean, there are all our statutes against policies on harassment-free workplaces. And again, we don't know what was said, but if this woman is coming back clearly upset and shaken that there was some kind of intimidation, there is a request for people to send letters to this. The address for this representative is rep.jasoncropp, spelled K-R-O-P-F, at oregonlegislature.gov. I would suggest, if you're so inclined, send a polite, maybe firmly, sternly worded email. Republicans are good at that. Send a sternly worded, but this is absolutely baloney.
Well, and that's
this
the
is
thing.
BS.
It is. When Tina Kotek became governor, we heard a lot of stories from both sides of the aisle about this kind of behavior that she engaged in for a long time. So I'm sitting here kind of going, under all these claims of transparency and all this, you know, we love one another mentality that we hear from our leadership in Oregon, it's like, let's see that you actually hold your own people's feet to the fire in this and make it public of how you're going to deal with this scenario. I want to know what's said. I would love it if Representative Tran would just come out and pretty much say, yeah, he backed me into a corner and, you know, whipped on me. I don't know, whatever it was.
Can you, even if it was, you know, just verbal, but yep. I mean, if it had that much, there's a lot of people sending letters and posting their letters, what they're sending there. You know, it's troubling to witness a situation where even members of your own party do not appear free to vote independently.
Well, that's
the lockstep block. You must be of a hive mind.
Well, I've said that for a long time. It's the Democrat Party has become, you do as you're commanded, you vote, you know, groupthink, everyone has to think the same. And there's been examples. I mean, maybe she should be happy that she only got a verbal whipping, because there's been Democrats that have been assassinated for voting against what the Democrat grouping wants.
Well, this is not good. And this is crazy. And this is why Oregon is in the absolute doom spiral that it's in, because you've had 40 years of this kind of crap going on from Democrats. And the Republicans have been in the minority for so long. And I know a lot of people are frustrated, and there's a lot of calls for walkouts and things like that. And, I see all sides of that. I'm in a firm believer of using every tool you've got at your disposal to try to be a bulwark and to stop this crap.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, this is the party, you know. Women are powerful. You can't, you know, talk down to a woman. That's misogyny. I mean, all of their talking points go right out the window when their own leaders act like this.
Well, and these are the same people. Either we want a woman for president. Well, first of all, we can't define one. But then when we figure out what one is, then we have to have one for president. But then, well, they're too stupid to figure out how to vote if we, you know, put some voter ID. These people are ridiculous.
Well,
the fact that they're the dumbest among us and they're the ones that are the ruling elite is just so frustrating.
See, I question the dumbest. I think they are the most evil, racist, misogynistic group out there.
And they're dumb.
And the difference is that they understand how to present it as caring as they talk down to anyone they deem below them, including members of their own party.
And sadly, far too many Democrat voters buy it. They're either lazy and they don't do their homework. Well, I've been voting D my whole life. My dad was a Kennedy Democrat. Okay. That was 60 plus years ago, hon.
Or they've bought into the narrative and the conditioning and the brainwashing that has occurred. I mean, I watched a video this morning of a woman who takes other, you know, like lives of TikTok, takes what they do and then kind of gives her own take on it. And she puts a video out of this young lady who said, I just found out that my boss, who I thought was really smart and I really like him, and he's a hard worker and this and that, that he's actually a conservative. And now I just have this urge to hate him. And she's going, yeah, that's the conditioning. They have created these key words that the moment they are said makes people upset and angry. And that's what they want.
And I think you're right. And it is easy. And I've been sort of pretty outspoken about this, that dumb isn't necessarily, there is some dumbness on this, because I mean, what was it, Reagan? There's just so much of what they don't, what they know isn't true. It's just not true, but they believe it wholeheartedly and full throatedly. But it's actually very diabolical. Mm-hmm. And it is in lockstep. And what the behavior that you saw being displayed by this representative crop is exactly what it is. You will do as we say, or you will be, she will lose her place. Again, we have no idea what the threat was.
Well, I mean,
something clearly upsetting.
Well, I sit here and go, okay, so here's this white male talking down to a minority female within his own group, his own caucus, his own party. Imagine if this was a conservative mother coming to him, how he might treat that person. How, you know, Ben, how do you feel that, you know, your representative looks at people this way? That they're, you know, his little do as I say and not as I, you know, do.
Right, but he'll sit there and project and say, and accuse Republicans of doing this or conservatives of this very behavior, as do they all. Mm-hmm. Anytime you see them screaming and pointing the fingers at conservatives and Republicans, that's their behavior. That's projection. I mean, it's absolute projection. And it's every single time. This dude is a jerk.
Yeah.
And there should be some political consequences to this.
Yeah.
Come on, voters in House District 54. Even Democrats should be disgusted by that.
Yeah, I'm. It's one of those things that, you know, I still have family and friends over in Central Oregon. Maybe just point that out and say, is this the way you want to be represented statewide, whether you agree with them politically or not? But I just sit here and go, and that's, I feel so inundated right now with the amount of spin and misinformation
oh my
from
gosh.
Local bills to national bills to even what's going on in the world stage. It's just like the hypocrisy of the news is getting insane.
And it's really hard. I think one of my daily poll today was, do you trust social media to be your news? Because a lot of people do get their news from social media. And I actually, because I'm like, I get mine on X. So I said yes. Boy, was I in the minority.
Well, and that's
because I'm like, well, yeah, I kind of rely on it. But then I'm thinking about all the other. It's like, well, kind of really? No, there was no sort of not really at all sucks option.
Well, and that's the problem is that, you know, social media right now, when you actually break it down on X and looking over different platforms, media representation across the board, I have to sit there and say the social media side is probably the most logical because I see things that are, you know, from both sides of the aisle. And I see things that from people that whether I like them or love them or hate them or anything else, I'm getting their stuff through just random feeds and looking through it and seeing both sides of that aisle to a certain extent.
The algorithm is a real thing, though. And I have to say, especially, I do not see that on Facebook. I see what the algorithm thinks I should see. Well. Different on X because of how I set up lists and how I follow people.
Well.
But even there, I'm a bit, you can be in a bit of an echo chamber on both of them. You have to consciously break out of it. Mm-hmm. But there are ways to do it. Relying on mainstream media, including Fox News, I don't.
No. Well,
I just don't.
The thing I see on the Meta platforms is paid advertising taking over everything else.
So right?
that's where that direction has gone. So here we go.
All right, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. We're going to come back and talk to HD17 candidate Dan Farrington. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, welcome back everybody on this lovely Tuesday. Snowmageddon. Oh yeah.
Nah, it's coming. Really. It's coming. No, it's not here yet. It's coming.
It's coming. Either, we're being
either,
teased.
Either sometime overnight, we'll wake up to you know, a slight dusting, or by at least by Thursday morning. Come on.
Okay. I'm waiting to hear that.
I'll wake up to the messages. You know, we're having to cancel school
because we got half an inch of snow. All right. We're gonna jump right in. We've got Dan Farrington joining us in the studio. He is running for HD17, that is the seat that is currently held by Representative Ed Deal, a friend of the show, who is now running for governor. So, Dan Farrington, welcome. It's great to see you again. It's been a bit.
Yes, thank you for having me on. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know we're in the primary right now, and so my understanding is that it's you and then Beth Jones is running. We're working on having a chance to chat with her, but today it's you.
Yes.
So, you are not a newbie to running for office. What made you decide you wanted to jump in for HD17?
Well, Linda and I moved out to Sublimity.
Love it.
2 years in June. And when I moved out there the fourth night, Ed was having a thing at the Snow Peak. So we went over and listened to him. He goes, what are you moving out here to run against me? And I said, no. I said, no, Ed, we love having you as our state representative. But if you ever moved up, I'd probably be interested in running for your seat. So interesting. 4 weeks ago, the week that he announced that he was running for governor, he called me on Monday and asked me if I'd be interested in running for state representative. I go, like, what are you doing? And he goes, well, Jamie and I have decided I'm going to run for governor, and there's a path to win, and I'm announcing on Thursday. So, so it took me about 30 seconds to say, I think that it's a good time for me to run because it's perfect with my situation and where I'm at in life. And the opportunity was there. And then Ed has endorsed me, too. So that's been a blessing, too. So,
Okay. Well, I know you've got a real heart for service. I mean, you're involved.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been on the show a number of times over the years. You're involved in ministry and helping people homeless, dealing with homelessness and mental health and addiction. I'm assuming those are going to be the focus.
Yeah. You know, businesses right now are struggling, and especially in the areas. I grew up in Newport, so I'm used to small towns and how hard it is to stay in business. And you know, you don't have the big city vibe where you have people in line to get into your restaurants or your businesses. You rely on the community and people coming to you, and we just need to do a better job of not taxing to death our small businesses that live up in the canyon. And, you know, there's another big company up in the canyon, Sigma, and I talked to Andrew last week about, you know, their struggles of these taxations that are continue to hamper his employees. That, you know, the cost of fuel, what's it take to run a truck, take care of the things he needs to do for business, and that hampers them, but also the cost of living, right? You know, we notice by going to the grocery store, I'd spend $100 a week, and now it's $150, $160, and, you know, and so it's, everything is more expensive, and we just really need to help our communities out better. So business is probably a huge one for me. Right now I am in business development, so I hear a lot about kids are not, there's not a lot of people out there ready to work. I mean, there's jobs out there, but they just can't find people that will come and do the job. They feel like it's in, like, you're happy that I showed up today. Well, that type of atmosphere is hurting. I travel from here, from Woodburn to Roseburg, meeting with small businesses, and this is the same theme up and down the freeway of, you know, kids are not prepared to work.
So that do you see that as an education issue? Is that a cultural issue? Where are you seeing that's kind of stemming from? Where does that flow from?
I think it's both. I mean, the families are, you know, not accountability is, we've lost that touch.
Yeah.
You see that in the schools, that accountability you know, we can have compassion, but there's got to be some rules and regulations that we got to follow in schools, and accountability for what you do. And then, and same with the parents. The parents need to be a little bit more demanding of their children, to have more expectations of your kids. I mean, I just retired from coaching this 2 weeks ago, 45 years of coaching, and a lot of it is having expectations of your children. And that's what happens in coaching. When I had expectations and set boundaries, the kids performed and were very successful by doing that. So if we're not going to demand accountability and expectations of our children, wow, you know, it's going to hurt the businessman that's trying to hire somebody.
It's so interesting. I don't remember who I was reading something about it where we talk about in so many sectors or, you know, parts of our society, that accountability, those expectations are gone, except for sports. Sports is where it's still there. You still see it. But then we're also seeing sort of the cultural fallout from that. I mean, we all see the videos of walkouts in schools and kids thinking, I mean, no respect for authority. I mean, I came up, you know, in the 80s. We still respected our elders. You never would have done what I see, especially treating law enforcement that way.
Exactly. Well, I was in the era in the 60s and 70s and told you're supposed to be seen and not heard from.
Yeah.
And when someone told you to do something, you did it. And there was no question back, or something would happen back at you. So that's the accountability and having structure around you. And I think I do think kids want boundaries.
Yeah, I agree.
And we need to set those boundaries and expectations of where you're going to go. I mean, and I don't want to throw all the young people under that umbrella, because there's some that really work hard and want to be successful and have a good game plan, but the majority are not. And business owners are struggling hiring people. I mean, they'll go through all the way to the final interview of five people, and they pick the top one, and then the person lasts 2 days because they didn't think it was didn't work out the way I thought it would.
Wow. You know, and that's expensive.
And that's expensive. That takes time. And now you have them there, you're starting to train them, and like, now you're gone. Now you're not showing up to work. But the other components with business right now is that paid leave. It's been a disaster for small businesses and large businesses. It's costing them money. And that's so hurtful. And then I saw an invoice the other day, and we don't have sales tax in the state of Oregon, but we do have a CAT tax that's a line item now on a billing statement. And people don't really look at all the billing statements and just here's the price, but then here's the add-on because this is what the state is charging me. So I'm just going to put it down to the consumer. And the consumer is the one that's getting hurting. So we see a lot more families on low budgets or losing their homes or losing their, you know, don't have everything. And, that, you know, it just causes multiple problems. And I think we need to do a better job at the state government.
I wonder, because again, we talk about it, Hunter and I've talked about this a lot, the doom spiral, where it's just things that sort of build on each other. And I'm assuming you're watching because the legislature is in the short session now.
Yes.
a very long 35 days in the middle of it. And so in addition to everything that you've outlined, that the burdens and the hardships, frankly, that make it more difficult to do business in Oregon, there are other things coming down the pike that are going to add to that. So you're in the legislature, you're representing HD 17. So how do you shift that? Because the numbers are not in the favor of common sense, frankly. They're just not.
Yep. Well, you got to be a team player, and we got to go into other the tight races in other places. If I do get through the primary, right now there's no Democrat opponent, so I have the position to be able to go around to other people that are running for office in different districts and start educating as much as I can from the business standpoint, because it's that trickle down effect. And what we're doing in education, we got people need to really look at the facts of this is what it costs to do. I mean, I always think about the farmer. The farmer has to plant the seed, all the fuel he does for that, and then he has to harvest it, and then it's shipped to a warehouse, and then it's, and these are all markups, and then from the warehouse to the grocery store, to the grocery store to the consumer, there's a lot of added items or numbers to that price of that product, and now it's going to you. This is what it costs. So why are we trying to increase our fuel costs? Why are we trying to add taxes to the business owners? Because they're just going to pass it on to you. And I think a lot of people just don't understand that part of education of business. Like after this meeting, I'm going to South Salem and they have a DECA program talking about business structure and building businesses. And I'm going to share with them the same thing I do every year about, you know, how to build a business and what are the struggles. And that's a big thing. But I think we really need to educate that Portland area of kind of, you know, what's happening. This is real. I mean, Oregon is, there's people leaving. There's businesses leaving. Businesses are closing. Restaurants, I mean, when I had my Rockin' Rogers restaurants, the food cost was 24% and labor was 18%. Now it's 36% and 36%. Wow. Overheads used to be 20. Now it's 25 to 30. Okay, you add up all those to 100%. There's not a lot of margin for that business owner to make any money. And then we can continue to add the fuel costs and the, you know, I know we throw out the egg price, but there's every item coming in the back door is going to be more expensive. And so we got to find a way.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it starts at the top. We have to elect the right governor. We have to start. The governor has to set the tone. And I think underneath saying, hey, if we do this and this, I mean, I had lunch yesterday with my attorney. And he says, what if we did some, they give us 4 years of having a Republican leadership and see how we change this state.
What could it hurt? Try it.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I do in business. You know, I go out and sell my thing. I said, we're a month contract. You can throw me out in a month, but let me show you what I can do for your company. And again, that's the sales pitch. And that's the value that the Republican Party could bring to the Capitol, but people can't see it. You got experience. And I think we've noticed what has happened nationally of businesses that are succeeding in other states.
Yes. Gas price is not as high as it is in Oregon and other states.
Exactly. I mean, we've been to Chicago with our son and Chicago was like $2.38 or whatever, cheaper gas. But, you know, again, businesses are going to other states to be successful. Why is that? Why are we the worst in taxation and the worst in education, but we're number one actually in taxation. We're we're the worst in education and business.
Yeah.
So there's got to be some time we have to draw the line and say, hey, let's give these guys a shot. So
what I'm noticing, because I know HD 17 is largely rural. It's Marion County. It's a wonderful district. It's ag. Beautiful. So I don't. It is. It's gorgeous. We lived out there for a while and loved it. And Representative Deal was my rep there. But you've got a lot of people. It's like it's the Portland. It's the metros. It's the big blue blobs. Eugene, Salem, and Portland. But I have to say, because every day it seems like I'm seeing it's with a heavy heart. And somebody is posting that they're closing their business or they're relocating. Yeah. Dutch Bros. That's not a partisan issue. Those are not, they could be Democrats, they could be NAVs, they could be Republicans. I'm wondering, is there maybe a bit of a shift here where what you're talking about would resonate because the evidence is staring everybody in the face?
Yeah, and I think we've seen that nationally too. I mean, I think we're starting to see things where people are being successful and why. But, you know, again, we got to open up the blinders. We got to get them to see it, and we got to show them the value of bringing in, you know, having less taxes creates more business and getting business successful and getting people employed. But, you know, a lot of these school districts are struggling, the public school. They're going like, why? And I'm going like, okay, what are you teaching? What are we absolutely teaching? Are we treating reading, writing, and math and social studies? Are we in history? Are we teaching that? Or are we teaching this other, I call woke stuff of, mentally ill and that type of thing? I think build boundaries, make people accountable, and use success. I mean, I see it from coaching all the time, and I get kids from all different kinds of backgrounds. But also we talked a little bit about the homelessness and, you know, being a mentor at the UGM. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys in Salem, UGM of Salem, these guys, they're like, you know, we have arches across the street that they're selling drugs in there. Yeah. And I'm over here trying to get off all the drugs and try to go through an 18-month program, the New Life Fellowship program, going to church twice a day, have a job, do all things right. But across the sidewalk, they got everything for free and doing all the drugs they want. I mean, in a parking lot. And then you got the police station across the street that's watching that. Their hands are tied. They can't do anything.
So it's
a vicious triangle if you really look at it that way. And I'm just like, this is crazy. We need to put our foot down and say, we're making a change. And that's what I'm going to bring to the table. That's my vocal point. But I know it starts at the top, and we have to get more people in the House that are Republicans and more in the Senate so we have our voice so we can make things happen. The Canyon has some issues right now with water, mm-hmm. with the water, with the dam being down so low, and they're talking about this project. It's going to be a nightmare, but also snowpack right now. I mean, you talked about snow.
Yeah.
There's snow where you're at.
Where is it?
I mean, there is no snowpack. I was in Detroit yesterday. It was sad. I mean, it was sad downtown, and I always remember it being, you know, a lot of people moving around. I didn't see a lot of people moving around, and so we really need to help those communities, the Gates Alliance, Mill City, and Detroit, get back to on their feet and get those houses completed. And this water treatment plant that's going in will be very helpful. But those are encouraging things. But, you know, again, we got to have good leadership. We got to support them and keep the businesses thriving. So,
yeah. Well, where can folks find out more about you, Dan? I know you've got a website. Give us that address real quick.
Yeah, it's farringtonfororegon.com. You can go on there, do donate, volunteer, signs, or even my cell phone number. I always give out 503-930-5974. Ask any questions. We're excited about this. This is a great opportunity in front of us, I love small communities. I want to see that successful and turn the page if we can.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for stepping up. I know you and we had Deborah on from Neon Kids yesterday talking about all of that really great work. So there's a lot of good stuff going on. A lot of people really, like I said, with you, both you and Linda, with a heart for service. And so there's good things going on. Again, we're talking to Dan Farrington. He's in the primary for the HD17 seat, Farrington4FOR Oregon.com. Always good to see you, Dan. Thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
You bet. You bet. Okay. We're going to take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 14:30 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Cozy's New York Deli.
All right, real quick before I forget, I want to put those website addresses out there. For Dan Farrington, it's farringtonfororegon.com. And then with Glenda for Bambinos, bambinosoregon.org. As always, I will have all of that in our show notes, all the links and everything there. And he did give out his phone number, so I will put that in there.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and do that.
Yeah. No, and I love...
always call.
I just love his point of, you know, at this point, we've seen Democrat supermajority, Democrat governor for over 30 years. What do we have to lose with making a change? I'm sitting here going, you know, I'm not going to pretend that if we elect a Republican governor and we break the supermajority, that we are going to all of a sudden right the ship of Oregon.
Right.
Because there's still going to be a Democrat majority. I don't
see us breaking that. It took decades to get here.
Yep. But at the very least, we are going to see a slowdown to a halt of the death spiral that Oregon is currently in.
And I remember Trump in 2016. I think this was to the Black community specifically. What do you have to lose? And I would say the same thing to Oregonians. We're going on 40 plus years of this.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to lose? How bad does it have to get before you think, maybe we should try something different? Maybe we should vote for a Republican for these seats. Granted, HD 17, I think, is pretty solid, but to get that voice in there and to then build on that, because like you said, and you know, it's taken decades to get here, decades of crap like what happened with this Bend rep that's been going on forever. It's not gonna change overnight. But what do you have to lose? Dems, what do you have to lose?
Well, I think, you know, if we were to get a Republican governor, do you think that they would try and push a gas tax on us or push a hidden sales tax on us?
No.
Or, you know, I'm sitting here going, at the very least, a Republican governor can protect our wallets a little bit better.
Again, what do you have to lose? Doing my show prep today, I just realized this kind of made me sad because we, I think in the Valley, our beloved Mike Frith, who kind of changed the landscape of talk radio in the Salem area, was the first to bring on the one and only, the legendary Rush Limbaugh. And it's been 5 years today that we lost Rush.
How crazy is that?
I
still will have people walk in our door and ask about Rush Limbaugh. And you know, it's just like to a lot of people, it feels like it was yesterday. You know, Mike changed the layout of talk radio in Salem. Rush Limbaugh changed talk radio on his own. I mean, what a combo.
I remember my dad and my husband had to do a road trip somewhere, and they were like, yeah, we listened to this guy, and it was really new. It would have been like the late 80s, I think, before he kind of really hit big. And then, of course, he exploded during the Clinton years. They hated him. Bill and Hillary hated Rush. And but, you know, it's like, what is this? And it was like that was it. And he set the standard. No one could touch that golden EIB microphone. So we all, any of us who were, you know, operating in this sphere, we owe it all to Rush.
That's right. Because without Rush, we wouldn't have what we have today.
And
sadly, he was one of those early voices that spoke up against what we here, especially in Oregon, are experiencing right now. So, and some of the things he pointed out, it's just like, you can't really argue with it. You know, this God complex that people have that, you know, we can destroy the environment and we can fix the environment. No, the environment's way bigger than you or I.
Yeah.
And the lack of snow, it's because, you know, it's one of those weird winters where it's
Or is it?
Tinfoil hats.
I know. Where's my tinfoil hat? Well, we're coming up hard. Tomorrow we're gonna dig in some deeper to some of the issues that we've only been able to kind of touch on, and one of them is there's a story at Fox 12. Oregon educators gather in Salem to push for more money.
If you look at the numbers, Oregon is one of the highest spending states on education and one of the lowest in outcomes. Tell me why you need more money.
Yeah, and I love the first comment. It's just simply no.
Yeah. It's a simple no, and it's like,
no.
Let's spend our money wiser. How about that? Let's look at those options.
Let's do that. All right, everybody, that is it for us today. Go out. If you got some snow, go out and enjoy it. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.